Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Join Saints Happy Hour Fan Club today. We'll mail you the best swag. You'll get exclusive access to our daily Saints podcast, and you can talk football 24/7 with other Saints fans in our Discord channel. Go to SaintsHappyHour.com and sign up today.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy Cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, the weekend, and Juge, the weekend is here, everybody. Thanks for joining us for Saints Happy Hour Podcast. Find us wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe and rate us. Give us 5 stars or don't give us any stars at all. We have an announcement to make. We're going free until training camp. And let me tell you, patrons already know that this is
until week one. Until week one.
Until week one. Until the Friday of week one. We're going free. But patrons who have already signed up, they know the benefits of what they get. They get the booze bundle box, 4 swag items, and a Saints player legend card, right? And they get all the podcasts early. And they get them ad-free because we chalk them full of ads because you people listen and it helps us make money, do fun stuff. But patrons, no ads ever. And they get access to the Discord channel. So just consider it. Sign up. Join us. We're having fun over in the Discord. I'm going to tell you. Andrew, we got a lot of Saints news to talk about on this Friday. Tons of stuff. I want to start with Sean Payton talking about roster size. Jeff Duncan asked him about it, and I thought it was interesting. I'm going to play the soundbite, and then we can talk about it. I think Payton mentions a couple of interesting things here that we need to talk about.
There's a few things. Number one, you know, the numbers have gone up to 16. Number two, the qualifications for that squad have changed where you can have veteran players, 7 players a part of that squad. And so, you know, it's a bigger list. It's also a different type of list than we've dealt with before. And then, lastly, how important is it relative to the pandemic we're dealing with this season? How important is it that you feel like, hey, you've got depth and you're prepared maybe in for worst case scenarios? But I do think the expanded practice squad, look, if you just look at the numbers and you say 53 and then 53 and 16, you're at 69 now, call it as a team. That's considerably different than a year ago. And then knowing we're at 80 already, you know, I just think that there are a number of things that are different about this year's practice squad outside of even COVID-19. If you're just looking at some of the changes that have taken place, that you really have a chance to carry veteran help on your team, young players on your team to develop, all of those things we'll have to manage and plan accordingly.
Andrew, the interesting thing about that was two things. It finally hit me. I was like, God, they get 53, and then they get 16 more. They're only going to cut 11 guys for training camp, right?
Yeah. So it's funny, man. Every year you hear people talk about how's the season going to shake out? You know, they want to talk about what's going to be, how the season's going to look, and they're trying to forecast the future. And when they do that, you always get the caveat, well, if they're healthy, if this guy doesn't get injured, you know, so that's always, well, this year it's on steroids with COVID, you know, and so is. You really, I mean, the NFL and the NFLPA made these agreements to kind of give teams a solid and help them kind of mitigate what's going to be more difficult than ever to navigate. So you're right. You know, right now they're at 80. They're going to go down to 69 if you count the practice squad. You know, there'll still be a waiver period, so there'll still be an opportunity to maybe for other teams to poach your guys. But in theory, you're keeping 69 out of 80. So really, you're just getting rid of the 11 guys you don't like.
I mean,
and you're probably going to be able to keep everybody else pretty much.
I mean, picking the 53 man roster was a skill that there was like a couple of people that did blogs that were really good at it, and you were always really good at it. Like it's hard to like figure out the 53. Going from 80 to 69, Andrew, I can look at the roster now, and I bet you I can get guests 8 of the 11 guys that they're going to cut. Like I don't think it's that challenging. But the other thing that I thought was really interesting in that Peyton soundbite, he mentioned keeping veteran players 3 times on that practice squad. Did you notice that? To me,
I did.
That goes to what I've been saying, that the Saints, they're all in to win a Super Bowl this year, and they are going to build that practice squad to deal with what Sean Payton called the COVID worst-case scenarios. They're going to stock – I think they're going to stock that practice squad with more veteran players than any other team. I bet you that's how they do it. Because they don't give it – they're about winning the Super Bowl now. They're not about the future and developing a UDFA from Northwest Nowhere State that can run really fast and might be good in 2 years. They ain't about that life. They're about winning the Super Bowl now, and they're going to build that practice squad accordingly.
I just feel like you look at guys like Kiko Alonso or Patrick Robinson. Patrick Robinson is a perfect example. He's a guy that was awful in training camp last year, awful in preseason. And actually, part of the reason the Saints kept him was financial. It was just a cap situation.
No, it wasn't part of the reason.
He was more expensive to cut than he was.
Let's be real.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, you look at it. So this year, they absolutely can cut him. You know, financially, it would be no skin off their backs to get rid of him if he couldn't cut it. But you look at a guy like that, and last year, Saints really didn't need him. He was like 5th or 6th on the depth chart. He didn't really have a role in terms of playing in games. But you liked that he was on the roster because you felt like, hey, if we get to a point where we need to play him, he's a veteran that knows what to do. And then he comes in. I can't remember what game it
Tennessee,
was late last
baby,
year.
Tennessee, baby, made that Tennessee one play Titans. In the end zone.
Yep, he comes in, and he was the defensive player of the game that week. And you know, he came in a pinch and played really well. And so, you know, that's when you remember keeping him on the 53-man roster through preseason and into the first game of the season, and he doesn't have a role, and you're like, why are we keeping this guy? And then week 16 or whatever, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm glad we hung on to that guy because he came in and he played big in this game because he's a veteran and he knows what to do. So I just feel like guys like that, let's say Kiko Alonso is not ready because he's on the PUP, or Patrick Robinson. Let's say even Kiko Alonso comes back, but he's just not there yet. But now you can stash him on the practice squad. And all of a sudden you're in week 7, week 8, you get hit by the coronavirus, your whole linebacker room's done.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
and you bring up Kiko Alonso, he's starting for you on a moment's notice. And there's a big difference between that. Maybe he's feeling better, and Stephon Anthony, right? Whereas, like, I think under normal circumstances, you would have to cut him because you just can't fit him on the roster. And therefore, you know, when the need would come up in week 8, week 9, because you can't forecast, you don't know what your needs are going to be later in the season come week 1. So if you had the gift of that, in hindsight, maybe you would keep a guy that you had cut. So anyway, it's kind of a roundabout way of saying, I think it's a good thing for the Saints, and it's going to mean guys that maybe would not have made this team will hang around with an opportunity to contribute later.
Here's the final thing. Then we got a couple other things to talk about. I'm going to give you a scenario that I think is very, very plausible. The defensive backs get hit by coronavirus and injury. Who would you rather have starting week 15 and having to play? Deontay Harris or old, potentially broke down Patrick Robinson? I'm taking Patrick Robinson every single time.
You mean Devontae Harris?
Devontae Harris.
You said Deontay. I definitely don't want Deontay playing cornerback. That would be really,
I'd rather
really
Deontay
bad.
Playing corner than Devontae, I tell you that.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, yeah.
He's tiny, but he's quick.
That's fair. No, I mean, you would go with the veteran. And it doesn't mean that he would play well. He might get roasted, and he might be embarrassed, and the Saints may want to burn him to the ground and you know, complain about him. You know, so that may still all happen. But, yeah, it's kind of to your point. It's at least he knows the playbook. At least he's going to prepare. He's going to watch the film. He's going to be a professional, and you can trust that if he's in position, he might make a play. You know, and there might be some diminutive physical attributes, but – you know, with Devontae Harris, you worry that it's going to be a broken play. Like, he's just not even going to know what to do because his head's going to be swimming so much. So, and that's what we saw when he was on the field at times. So,
yeah. Another reason.
Look, there is the luxury to having guys that have experience and know what they're doing.
As sports keep coming back, so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, betonline.ag. Major League Baseball will soon be in full swing, and there's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to be in on. Also, tune in as Floyd Money Mayweather joins the BetOnline team in a new segment called The Ice is Right, where he talks about his expansive jewelry collection. He'll give you the chance to win some great prizes and bet on the cost of his bling. Visit betonline.ag today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the welcome back to sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. You know, we were worried about, you know, with no games in the preseason to look forward to, how are we going to cover the Saints? What news are they going to give us? We can't even see practice. We don't even get our normal Twitter clips of Troutman catching a touchdown against air and getting excited and all that. How are we going to cover? Sean Payton delivers us news. He loves us. You know what he does, Andrew? He says, I'm going to give him news. I'm going to give him something to talk about. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make Tommy Stevens a tight end. Just so Ralph and Andrew can have something wild to talk about. Thank you, Sean. He's a tight end. This opens up – I don't know if it opens up possibilities in real life, but it does offer up possibilities to talk about. Like, what are they thinking with Tommy Stevens? He's a tight end, got a tight end number? What's up with this weirdness?
I mean, it makes sense from the standpoint that – I mean, if you were to ask me what position Taysom Hill does the most with the Saints, it's probably tight end. And I think they're trying to recreate Taysom as much for Tommy Stevens as possible. And with Jameis Winston in the building, with three quarterbacks ahead of him, he's just not going to get reps. He's not going to get snaps and like practice. Remember now, like, there's less reps to go around. They can't practice as much as they would like. They haven't had OTAs. Like, if Tommy Stevens is going to – well, first of all, I'd say, look, Taysom Hill was a better college quarterback than Tommy Stevens. Like, Tommy Stevens really didn't do much. So, like, if he's going to contribute at all or play on this team at all this year, it's not going to be a quarterback. I think we all know that. I mean, three injuries would have to happen for him to even be considered. And even then, honestly, Ralph, like, I think the Saints would go somewhere else and get a quarterback before starting Tommy Stevens in a game. So
if Tommy Stevens,
he's not going to get the reps there. So I just think they're going to try him on special teams. They might have him do a little bit of wildcat, but mostly like it's going to be that H-back tight end role that Taysom Hill does. Like those are the snaps they're going to give him. So I think Sean Payton is probably rightfully saying, hey, why not just put him in the tight end room where at least he's getting reps and he's not trying to learn the playbook as a quarterback where he has to understand. He's going to have a very niche specific role. Mm-hmm. That's what they want him to understand. They don't want him to absorb, because when you're the quarterback, you not only have to account for your own position, you have to understand the whole. You have to understand what everyone is doing. You have to hold everyone accountable. You have to control the huddle. Like, that's just too much for Tommy Stevens. The Taysom Hill role in of itself is complicated enough without making you responsible for being the primary passer and controller of the offense.
And let's remember Taysom Hill, his whole thing started on this text from you during a game. Who the fuck is with the single digits covering the kickoff? Like, they didn't start Taysom in the wildcat and doing a bunch of stuff, right? They started him running down doing kickoffs.
Yeah, it was like, this guy's a great athlete. How can we get him on the field? So yeah. I actually think they learned a lot about his evolution, and I think that has allowed them to maybe fast-track Tommy Stevens a little bit, where his acclimation can be more than just like, hey, he's a good athlete, let's throw him on the field, kind of a discovery thing.
Yeah, they can say, hey, we did this with Taysom. We have a process. It's like when you know, if you're in HR and you're in a regular job, they call it onboarding, where like the new hire, you go through the meetings, they have like a plan for you to get you up and running. And the Saints have that for all positions, but Taysom Hill is so unique. But now they've done it, so they can do it again, and you can replicate it.
So point being though, Ralph, like, I would caution Saints fans about seeing tight end and be all like, oh, they're moving him to tight end, they're trying to get him to play that position. I mean, he may have some inline responsibilities, but I think this is more just they are preparing him for the Taysom Hill role. They want him in that element, and putting him at tight end is the best position group for him to learn the nuances of that role. So, yes, Taysom Hill a lot of times is a tight end, but I would just caution Saints fans to thinking, well, like, if he's doing that, that means he can't throw the ball. It means he can't run out of the wildcat, means he can't play special teams. He's going to do all those things. And it's really a Taysom role that I think they're carving out for him right now.
Man, I had him penciled in for 35 catches and 7 touchdowns. You threw cold water.
Look, I mean, Taysom Hill caught about that many touchdowns last year, so it's not impossible. I mean, the thing is, imagine how good Taysom Hill would have been at all that stuff right from the very beginning if he had, instead of just being a quarterback in training camp, if they had trained him that way. Because like Tommy Stevens, like, this is the way he's going to see the field, because he's not going to see the field as a quarterback. And at the beginning, like, that's the thing. Like, Taysom Hill started covering kickoffs because it's kind of the same thing. This is how you're going to see. You're not going to see the field as a quarterback. You're going to see it covering kickoffs. And so that's why it all started that way for him. And I just think when you look at Tommy Stevens, they're just kind of fast tracking it, and they're preparing him much better. Like, and again, like with Taysom, it was all like a discovery and trying to figure out where they could fit, because the Saints didn't even really know what niche and what role they were going to carve out for him. They just knew that he was so athletic, they needed him on the field. Well, now they have a role within their offense and they kind of know how to do it. So I just think they're going to help fast track Tommy Stevens by helping him learn so much better than they did with Taysom.
Yeah. So it's just going to be interesting, but I need Saints, your Twitter, your Instagram, your website. I need camp video. I need touchdowns. I need rookies. I need UDFAs making spectacular plays so we can get irrationally excited about camp. That's what I need. And they're falling down on the job. The still pictures are nice, but Andrew, I need videos of it to get me pumped, fired up, and an excuse not to do work.
Yeah, absolutely. we're starved for it, man. I mean, right now we're so starved for it that we're just reading too much into pictures. There was one picture of Alvin Kamara, and I saw someone joke that he looks unhappy. So that's already starting. Look, it's cool to see Jameis Winston out there with number two, which is kind of weird. It reminds me of Aaron Brooks. Do you feel that at all? Do you get that?
It feels a little weird. I will say this about Jameis, which is interesting. Apparently, he had the media note, Kat Terrell, who is a great reporter, and she's really good at like noticing subtle things that like aren't hardcore football, and that's why I really like her. She noticed that like Jameis Winston was just cracking up Jared Cook like in the huddle. And the thing is with Jameis, we might make fun of him because eat the W and all his off-field stuff. You could say whatever you want about him. His teammates in Tampa and Florida State love that guy. They gravitate towards him. You know, we might have issues with the interceptions and off the field stuff, but players gravitate towards him, and he's already doing it with the Saints. And I'm not saying he's going to usurp Drew or whatever, but you can see, like I think that thing that Kat Terrell mentioned, like, you can see it. Like, he's a leader, and he gravitates, and he knows how to run a huddle and run a team. So it's going to be really interesting from him. But I need, like, 3 or 4 touchdown videos from the Saints to really get fired up about it.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Totally. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Look, I'm excited about training camp in general, and there's so many storylines. I mean, just from Davenport, like, this feels like the year where he needs to step up. Everyone's talking about Emmanuel Sanders and how he's going to fit in this offense. Alvin Kamara bouncing back from his injury. You know, I will say this. So, like, as we enter camp and you talk about the expanded rosters and all that, I still feel like the most impressive thing is that they really don't need a rookie to work out. And remember, like, yeah. I just feel like most NFL teams, the injury thing is always like, well, if this guy can stay healthy and this guy can stay healthy, like, we might be good this year. Like, that's always a thing. And honestly, but if you ask me, like, where would the Saints be in big trouble if they had injuries? And, you know, obviously if they lose Michael Thomas or Cam Jordan, like there's guys on every roster that are superstar players, or if you lose them. But like, I just feel like if Michael Thomas goes down for a week, the offense can score. If Kamara goes down, they have Latavius Murray. If Breeze goes down, they have some options. So like, I feel like they're very protected at all these positions. I will throw out that corner for me is where I'm actually most nervous. It's not linebacker so much, because like, if Anzalone or Kiko Alonso go down, like, they have Nigel Bradham, they have Zach Bond, like, there are options. Mm-hmm. But like, I just think after Lattimore and Jenkins, oof, like, if you're starting any of those other guys on the outside, yeah, that's where I would think that drop off in play could be really significant.
Yeah, and that's, I think
so
that's
corner, I would say, is still a little shaky for me.
I think that's every team. Like,
yeah, that's
like,
true.
I mean, like, I don't know rosters in and out like a lot of people, but you listen, you know, I listen to the previews with Mina Kimes where she's doing it for every division, and she goes through those rosters deep. And you could feel that way about any team, the best defensive team, Baltimore, whoever. Like, after the first two corners, it gets dicey, because the thing is, nowadays teams are going three wide receivers, four wide receivers throwing the ball all the time. So like, if your two corners go, like, you're fucked. Like, that's just the way 2020
but
NFL
again,
is.
I would just state that, like, normally for teams, is at least the first round pick, teams are like, this guy has to work out. This guy absolutely has to play well for our team to have a chance. Because a lot of teams draft their first round pick to plug a huge hole, a huge need. I just feel like, look, if Zach Bond doesn't work out, it's fine. If Adam Trautman doesn't do anything, it's fine. You know,
Ruiz, like, what if,
no, I mean, look, they got Hurst, they got Nick Easton. I mean, it's not that I'm like psyched about those guys, but they have guys they could plug in there that might be okay. And, you know, or just,
I mean, they
average,
like,
so,
they're going to play Ruiz at center, right? So,
well, I mean, they could move McCoy back to center.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They could put Easton at center, and they could put McCoy right guard. So, look, my only point here is, like, I don't – like, Ruiz is obviously the most critical of the draft class, but even him, I think if he were a bust, or if he were to blow out his knee in training camp, the season is not over. You know, like, I wouldn't be like, oh, this is something they can't recover from. I'd be like, all right, well, Nick Easton's been a starter in the league. You know, it's a huge bummer, but, like, the offensive line could still be okay. And I just, to me, none of these rookies have to work out.
I mean, you could have a thing where, like, and I don't think it would happen because his Michigan tape is so good and he's so smart, but, like, you could have a thing where, like, he's Meacham in 2007 for the Saints, where, like, he doesn't play and he redshirts. And, like if you told me Ruiz is inactive for 12 games just because he can't cut it because he couldn't figure it out because of the shortened – because of coronavirus and all that, like, I'd be like, ah, that kind of sucks. But it wouldn't be like, well, they're not winning the Super Bowl. They need the offensive line to be good. Like, no. And I just think that's the thing with the Saints. The Saints, their season is more – guessing the Saints' season and how it's going to go is more trying to figure out what's going to go wrong than what's going to go right. And I just think that is a strength. There's only like about four teams. There's only about four teams in the NFL you can say that about. And I wouldn't even put like the Patriots, who are like the gold standard, like they have more questions, you know? So it's like the Saints, the Saints, Kansas City. I mean, you know, maybe
the Saints have as many contingency plans with injuries and stuff as I can ever remember them having.
You know, it's the Saints, Kansas City, Baltimore, and maybe San Francisco would be the four teams that I would say they need more wrong to happen for their season to be a disaster than have all these things go right, you know? But that's it. That's the list. That's the four. So the final thing we want to talk today about is, you know, the Saints announced, Andrew, they sent out an email to all season ticket holders. I'm sure you got it like I did, that they said, look, we're not playing the first game. There's not going to be any fans. And I think that's to me, it's a really good sign, because The NFL, to me, besides Jerry Jones being like, we're going to play in France. You can pay 50% in Texas. We're going to play. We expect to play in front of fans. Like, I think the NFL, for the most part, is totally focused on getting these games on television. The NFL is totally focused on getting these games on television, and they've sort of – they view the fans in the stands and the merchandise and the game day revenue, which is 25% to 30%. They view it as a sunk cost and it's gone, and they're not trying to save it. They're totally focused on getting this season played and getting these games on TV, which I actually take as a positive. Oh my God. Men, start taking notes. Because Manscaped accidents are finally a thing of the past. The Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 has been beautifully designed to reduce those painful nicks and tugs. This is their third generation trimmer featuring advanced skin safe technology, so you keep your bad boys nice and smooth. The Manscaped engineering team obsesses over technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And they spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer shave. The water-resistant technology allows you to shave in the shower too. Oh, one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. You need to try this out yourself. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Once again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code armchair. Your balls will thank you. Well, I just think...
Why do you see it as a positive?
I just see it as a positive because I think they're focusing, the teams are focusing all their energy, or most of it, on making sure the players are safe, making sure... they don't get Rona in the building, and they're not sort of wasting time or pretending that these stadiums are going to be full, it's business as usual, and giving people hope or whatever. I just like the fact that they've basically, in my mind, they have said, look, it ain't happening. And we got to focus on getting these games on TV and getting 16 games played, or as many games played as we can. And they haven't, and they aren't sort of doing the sort of dance of, well, we'll probably still have fans, we'll see. And we're hoping to have 40%, 50% by November and all this. Like, they're not playing that game. And I take that as a positive.
Yeah, I hear you on that on some level. I think it's good in the sense that I think this NFL has made the decision. They're moving forward. They're doing this, you know, so this season is happening and
that too.
Yeah. I think there's one way to look at it as, yes, it's a bummer when you hear that there's going to be no fans, but I think they're saying that, yeah, it's not like they're saying, look, we're going to try to have fans and it's totally tone deaf to the reality of the situation. And they're basically just saying, we're going to have this. We're moving forward with fans. And then they're putting them back in themselves into a position where they're going to have to pull the plug, you know, 2 weeks out or something. So like they're already saying we're doing this, we're moving forward. We're going to have no fans. This is happening, you know? So I like the commitment. Look, the NFL, in my opinion, they can't go backwards, man. Cause like hockey is back. NBA is about to start their playoffs. Tennis, the US Open's about to happen, all with no fans. So baseball is happening. So like, all sports are back. What would it look like for the NFL to not do it when all other sports are doing it? So like it's happening. Yeah. So I feel very secure and confident. You know, now it's going to be weird and it's going to be different, but I feel secure. Look, it's such a bummer at the same time. Like it not only just for me personally, how fun it is to go to these games. And, you know, I had this circled on my calendar, Brady versus Brees, like, mm-hmm. when will we ever have an opportunity? We may never have an opportunity like this again in the Superdome. Yeah. And so, you know, it was just, that was one I really wanted to be there in person for. And I was planning to go to that game. So, that's a huge bummer, that I can't see that in person. And then there's also just the advantage that the Saints have of playing at home. Like, I would want Tom Brady dealing with the crowd noise and that sort of thing. And I just think anything that makes his life and job a little bit easier coming to New Orleans is something I don't like. So, that's unfortunate, but look, I still think when you look at the Saints, when you look at their road record, the last 3 years, mm-hmm. They're the number one team in the NFL in the regular season the last 3 years in terms of record on the road. And so I just think that says it all. Like, that speaks to the talent they have. And so they still have talent, whether the crowd noise is there to support them or not. You know, I think there's maybe an artificial or a real boost that they get from the fans, but they play well without them. We've seen that. They play well with fans cheering against them. So I still feel confident this team can get the job done without them.
Yeah, and the one thing I'll say about you, you know, you mentioned it too about how, you know, that they're putting the fans aside and they're plowing through. I'm going to tell you something. You're 100% right. The NFL is plowing through with this season, hell or high water. And I'm drawing a blank. There was a short story I read, I think, in high school or college. It was a Stephen King short story, and I can't remember the name. But basically, it was this, like, dystopia future, and, like, all the kids would run. And if you fell below running a four-minute mile, you died, and they would kill you. And the last person standing running the mile would win a prize. And I just feel like that's how it's going to be with coronavirus. Like, the NFL, if you get infected with coronavirus and your season is fucked, they're not going to care. They're just going to leave your ass behind. And they're plowing through, and the only thing that's going to stop them, Andrew, is if a player gets sick and dies. And even then, it might not stop them. This might sound really insensitive, but if it's a nobody player, they're going to keep plowing through. The only way the season is going to get stopped is if a star player gets coronavirus and dies. Otherwise, the NFL is starting, and they're finishing. And it's up to the teams to figure it out and keep coronavirus out of your freaking building. And that may sound insensitive, and you may think that's cold, and I get you. As a person that's had 5 family members die, it's kind of really cold, kind of gross, whatever. I'm just telling you, Andrew, that's the reality of it. So these teams, they know, and I think Sean Payton, in his press conference, he understands that 100%. Like, that you got to figure it out, and they're not going to care. They're not going to have compassion for you, whatever. And I think that, to me, with no games being played, that's another point to me that proves the NFL, they're just, this season is happening, and they don't care if it gets messy or whatever. As long as these games get on the TV, that's what matters. And it sort of it excites me in a way, because I desperately need football, but I'm really nervous because this could get weird and awkward and maybe potentially awful.
Yeah. Yep. And look, it kind of goes back to what I said. I just think when all these other leagues are happening, there is no way the NFL is going to allow all these leagues to happen with varying degrees of success, right? Like, I would say the NBA probably is the gold standard just in terms of how things have gone.
No, no, no. NHL hockey pretty probably is, because I don't think hockey's had a positive. Hockey and basketball have done very, very well. Like, their bubble format works.
Baseball's obviously done much less well. And I think if you compare them, I would say the NFL, just in terms of protocol, is much closer to baseball than it is to, you know, they don't have a bubble. Although it does seem like they're maybe doing things a little bit better than baseball does. So they've learned some things there, and I think they have better policies.
Well, but the problem for baseball is there's more travel for baseball, right? Because football, you only travel every other week usually. And baseball has this sort of culture of when you travel, you go out after the game. Like, if you go to Chicago, you play during the day, then you go out at night, especially if you're single, do a little partying, and then you play the next day. Like, it's a culture in baseball, whereas football – when you travel, walk through, hotel, play, fly out, and leave. So there's it's just a different cultural setup. So I think that can probably benefit football a lot more than baseball. But it's, you know, but football, their practices are guys crashing into each other. So how the hell are you gonna do that? But
well,
I'll just
it
say
doesn't
this.
Matter if they don't have the coronavirus. So I think that's where testing is critical. You know, so you're right. I think in terms of baseball is more socially distant on average than football is. I mean, you got guys in the huddle, you got guys tackling each other. So yeah, you're right. But I think if no one has it, then you're not going to get it. So it's the testing. It just becomes – and quick turnaround on testing just becomes more critical.
And also, too, Sean Payton mentioned – I didn't pull this soundbite. I thought about it. I probably should have, but I didn't. You know, Sean Payton was mentioning all the protocols, and he said him and Mickey, they meet, and Mickey Loomis will be like, hey, Sean, these four players, they were too close to each other for 8 minutes. These two players were close to each other for 9 minutes. This position group, like – the data is telling us that, and they're trying to figure that out and improve that on a daily basis, you know? So
yeah.
I just think the NFL is just pouring money into the teams to try to help them mitigate the coronavirus in a way that other sports leagues and normal people, we just don't have access to, right? Like, you don't know, hey, I was at the store and I was too close to this woman in the frozen food section. I was too close to her for 7.5 minutes. Like, when you go in the Saints building, they fucking know that shit, right? So it's just a whole other process.
Well, you got different problems if you're spending 7.5 minutes in the frozen section.
Well, you gotta get Andrew. You gotta get the discounts. You gotta get the good cut of meat. You can't get that. You know. And ground meat and meat prices are through the roof. Like, if you want to cook like carne asada,
meat isn't in the frozen section, Ralph.
Well, I mean, not in the frozen section, but if you're in the meat, you gotta get the good. You gotta get the good cuts of meat, Andrew. You can't just go in there and grab any willy nilly. You gotta look at it.
I don't know. In this day and age, you go in and you grab, baby. You know, mystery meat is, you know, if that's what it's got to be, you grab
that's what it's
it.
Gotta be.
You hope for the best. No, I'm Team Instacart all the way. So I'm probably that's even worse than willy nilly grab stuff because you're totally at the mercy of the person shopping for you. So that's a whole other podcast probably.
Yeah,
but no, look, it's I agree, and I think when we talk about just everything to do with the season, man, it just goes back to there's so much money at stake. There's so much money, and there's just no way the NFL is going to allow full refunds to their sponsors,
TV.
To the TV contracts, to fans. I mean, it's just, you know.
And the networks
they
want
have
it.
To have
Dude,
it.
The networks want it. I didn't realize 45% of – the Fox, the network, is people watching football. Like, that's half of their viewing time spent watching the Fox channel is watching football. These networks need freaking football as bad as the NFL needs these networks' money. So
I don't think people realize how insane the ratings are going to be. I mean, if you look at Saints games and how their ratings are in New Orleans already. Okay, you have a home game with no fans there. So right away, you're going to have 70,000. We'll call it 100,000 because you probably have another 30,000 that either tailgate and don't go to the game or they're in Champions Square just to experience it without going into the stadium. So call it 100,000 people that would have been either inside the stadium or just like huddled around a tailgate watching it, but instead like are going to all be watching it in their individual homes. So let's call it like 100,000 more views. But then on top of that, you just have all these people that would normally have gone to the movies or gone to the grocery store or would have done this. And like now they're just like, I'm staying at home because that's safest. I don't really have anything to do. I'm not even going to church. Half these people aren't even going to church on Sunday because
Yeah,
it's not safe. And so they're like, yeah, let's see what's going on with Drew Brees and Tom Brady.
Dude,
I'm telling you right now, with no fans, the ratings for that game, probably nationwide, but especially in New Orleans, it will be the number one most watched television episode in New Orleans history.
It might be, it might rival the Super Bowl.
I think it'll be more.
I
think it'll be more.
Here's the thing. I hope the NFL does. If college football, it looks like their season is very perilous. I hope the NFL sort of spreads out the games to help the schedule to maybe make it easier in COVID. I hope they play on Saturday. They were talking about maybe they play on Friday because you probably won't have high school football. You know, the NFL doesn't really like to intrude. You know, college football and NFL, they sort of have an honor code of, hey, we're not going to do any much on Friday because that's for high school football and we don't want to intrude on that sort of tradition. But if they're not playing, my attitude, Andrew, put NFL games any goddamn night you want to put them on, because I'm here to watch them. You know, like you want to slap a weird game on a Tuesday, go right ahead, Goodell.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, part of me wants to honor the sanctity of Sunday, you know, so in some ways I would prefer they stick with that, the schedule as constructed. But look, I mean, I'm going to watch it whenever it's on, obviously. So,
all right, guys, this one is free. We told you at the top, but sign up, become a patron, get the daily podcast every day, get your booze bundle, 4 swag items, Saints player legend card included, access to the daily show ad free, you know, and you get to get access to our Discord channel, which is amazing. We have jokes.
Just do it.
I know you've been on the fence. I know you've been listening. Sign up now. You get it free the rest of the month.
Football's here. Just do it.
Just do it. All right. So for Andrew, I'm Ralph. We will see you, the big show, Sunday night. Join us for the live stream. See you then.